And now, here's lesson number two entitled, Gratitude, the Key to Greatness.
Let me begin with a premise that I'm sure is acceptable to your heart and to your mind. And that premise is that you were created to live upon this planet, experiencing a life that brings you joy. Joy is indigenous to your spirit. Would you agree that that is true? It is the most natural of the conditions of your being. In reality, you, your spirit, that perfect, permanent self of you, is joyous, and in it there is no fear. Fear is a dis-ease. It is your spirit dis-eased or separated from its ease. Unhappiness in any form is unnatural and is not the purpose that our Creator had in mind for us when we were placed here on this planet. As a matter of fact, quite the opposite. We were put here to learn how to separate ourselves from these things that distress and disturb us. We are here to grow up into another reality, into the only reality. Our human condition is not reality. We frequently refer to it as reality, but it isn't. Think, if you will, of the reality of a child. Not a child 8 or 9 or 10 years of age, but a child 3 or 4 or 5, maybe even 6. And even as you think of a child, you begin to smile and relax. Children do not take themselves so seriously. They've not yet learned to be separated from the joy of living. Joy, therefore, is one of the most important movements of our spirit. And there's a word that is synonymous with joy, and sometimes we think of it as being a different word, but it is perhaps one of the most important words in our language, and that word is love. We hear a lot about love. Many people today are talking about love. Some of the strongest voices that speak, such as Leo Biscaglia, speaks of love, and thousands of people flock to hear him, and you want to hear more about love because love is indigenous to your spirit, isn't it? Love is natural. But if we truly love, then we enjoy. Do you love your life? That means you enjoy your life. You do not love your life unless you enjoy your life. Do you love your friend? Not unless you enjoy them. Love and joy are very close to each other. And so often we try to love or wish to express our love, and because we're unable to express our joy, we cannot express our love. It's very important now, this moment, to become willing to be joyous, to become willing to feel good. How would you feel if you felt so good you could hardly stand it? How would you feel if you were so totally alive that you did not have the words to tell the person sitting beside you how alive you were? How would you feel? Then feel that way right now, because that feeling is in you. It is there. You have felt that way moments here and moments there in your life, and I know that you have. I want you to think of such a great experience that you had, a time that was so thrilling to you, so inspiring to you, so life-changing to you, that you could not stop thinking about it and could not stop talking about it. Can you think of such an experience? Of course you can. Now think of it, think of it, think of it, think of it, and get the feeling for that experience. Get the feeling of it going. Let it come alive for you right now. Get caught up in the ecstasy. Give yourself permission to feel good. One of the great problems that we have had has been that we lost permission to feel good. Someone took away our joy. We are afraid to feel it again, but you're feeling it now. Hang on to the feeling that you have and keep it going, keep it going. Now, while you're hanging on to this feeling, is there some section of your life that needs help? Meaning, do you have a major problem in your life? Is there a major problem that you have? Is there? Now, if you're not careful, when I mention your major problem, you'll lose your joy. Because what is it that problems do to us? First thing, cause us to be afraid, diminished, to lose our joy, to be frightened, right? Now keep your joy, because I have some good news for you. If you will keep your joy, this joy that's in your heart, and become as excited about your problem as you were about the former experience that you had in your memory a moment ago, let's substitute your joy, your excitement, that feeling of ecstasy that you had about the great and wonderful thing. Now let's keep that feeling alive and take it into our problem for a moment. In other words, let's become as excited about your problem as you have ever been about anything that you've ever experienced in your life before. You beginning to get the hang of it? Well, your first reaction might be, you can't do that. You can't feel good about your problem. If my problem will go away, then I will feel that way. No, no, no. If you will begin to feel good about your problem, it will begin to go away. It will begin to go away. Now keep your joy going as you think about your problem. And as you continue to feel good that you have this problem, now let's be thankful for it. Oh, did I just hit you right in the pit of your stomach? Be grateful for your problem. Be glad that you've got the problem. And as a matter of fact, praise the problem. Praise the situation. Give thanks. Be glad. Because contained within this situation that confronts you is the seed of a great miracle. A miracle that's so great that in a short period of time you'll look back upon it with such ecstasy, with such excitement, that it will be the next great thing that you'll be telling people about. You'll be telling people about the miracle that happened in your life as a result of your joy and gratitude and praise. What are miracles except problems that have been converted to something to be ecstatic about? Do you believe in miracles? I mean, do you really believe in miracles for you? Do you? One of the great miracle statements that I've used in my life is the 23rd Psalm. I'll read it to you from the Living Bible. It'll sound a little different than what you learned in school. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. I have everything I need? Well, where is it? If I have everything I need, I don't see it. Well, it is there, isn't it? It must be there. If God is my shepherd, then everything that I need is there, and therefore I will give thanks for these needs fulfilled. Even before I see the needs fulfilled, I will give thanks. If you believed that God was with you, like as close to you as I am, closer and closer than that, and was totally in charge of your experience and already had your problem solved, not only solved, but a dramatic solution that was just going to pop the eyes of your in-laws. Would you be delighted? Would you be afraid? Would you be excited? Would you look around so that everyone would know that you were the one that God was with? Is that the way you would feel? Then feel that way. Get the feeling that God is your shepherd and that everything you need, you have. He leads me to rest in the meadow grass and leads me beside the quiet streams. He stills my mind, brings peace, a feeling of gratitude, of excitement. Even though I walk through the dark valley of what appears to be death, I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. Isn't that what we've been talking about? I will not be afraid. Instead of being afraid in the situation, I'll be joyous in the situation. What's the opposite of fear? It's excitement. Excitement. Let your fear right now be changed to excitement. Got a problem? Become excited about it. Filled with joy about it. Filled with hope about it. Your goodness and unfailing kindness shall be with me all my life. Do you believe that? I believe it. I believe it for you. I believe it for me. I believe that whatever we need, we already have, providing we can tune into it even before the eye has seen it. What is faith but the evidence of things hoped for, which have not yet been seen with the eye? I was talking to a friend of mine who lives in another large city. This man is very gentle. To be in his presence is to be in the presence of a gentle man. But he's a very competent, capable, adept person. And to watch him function in different levels of society has often caused me to just stand in amazement. He's a very powerful person in many ways. He reminds me of the centurion that came once to speak to Jesus, the Roman army officer who had a servant who was quite ill. He's a person who speaks with authority, understands authority, but is also under authority. We were speaking in this telephone conversation about a matter, and we had just about concluded our visit, and suddenly there was a pause on his end of the phone, and there was a shift in his manner, and he told me about a serious problem that he had, and he said, Jack, I don't wish to trouble you, and I said, and I spoke his name, you can't trouble me. He said, but I need your help. I want you to pray for me. I've just discovered that the sight in my left eye is growing dimmer, and I've spoken to the specialist here in the city, and they have sent me to the specialist in the country, in the world perhaps, and the prognosis is such that I will, in all probability, continue to lose sight in that eye very rapidly until I will not be able to see. And it may even be so that my sight will be dim in my other eye. Will you pray with me? And I said, I already am. I join you. But I do not join you in your problem. I join you in the spirit of the solution of that problem. And I said to him, what I'm about to tell you might appear to be strange to you. But you tell me that the doctors have told you that you're losing your sight. That's true. I'm going to suggest to you then that while you have your sight, that you enjoy the experience of losing it. That you, in other words, enjoy your sight, not so much anticipating losing it, but let your sight, the vision that you now have, be so precious and so important that you spend every conscious moment that you can looking through your eyes and rejoicing that you see. Placing great value on your sight moment by moment, surrendering the fear that it might leave you, because if you're afraid that it might leave you, you will not even see while you still have vision. And more than that, this incredible intelligence that is your spirit, this part of you that has created your body out of the substance of life. The spirit in you has the ability to restore, to reshape, to reform, to heal. Now let's praise that spirit. Fear dishonors it. Fear says to that intelligence, you're powerless. You have no ability. What is fear but to dishonor the Spirit of God that is in us and with us? And he understood. And we went through a technique there on the telephone, and I made a commitment to him that every day I would join him and that I would be praising the Spirit that has created his body and that he would be doing the same thing, and he did. Yesterday he called me again. We were talking about another matter, and before the conversation was over, he said, "Now, Jack, let me tell you the exciting news." The evening before, he was at an opera. It was Cinderella, the opera Cinderella. He said the music was just exquisite, but the costuming, the wardrobes of all of the actors and vocalists was just superb, and he was enjoying his vision as he has been doing more than ever in his whole life. He has had eyes that saw and a heart that was grateful for his vision. He said in the midst of this opera, he suddenly had the sensation that there was no sensation in his eye as there had been. And more than that, he became aware that he could see more clearly than he'd been able to see in months or perhaps even years. And that his vision was unclouded and clear and the colors, and he described what he saw. And can you imagine the excitement and the joy and the appreciation that was in his voice that came to me over that wire? I am absolutely convinced. I know that this experience came to him because he fulfilled the conditions. He became excited. He became joyous about an experience that caused other persons to be afraid. From Genesis to Revelations, are we not told, fear not, do not be afraid? Doesn't matter what's happening to you, do not be afraid. Enter into the gates of each new experience with thanksgiving and into the presence of God with praise. Giving thanks in advance that the solution already exists. Especially giving thanks if there doesn't appear to be a solution, because there is always a solution. There has never been a problem that does not have a perfect solution. Do you believe that? You believe it for all the rest of us. You believe it for yourself. Now believe it now. Believe it. Believe it. And give thanks to the power that can do the most wonderful things. Most people give thanks if something has already been done for them. That's three-dimensional thinking. That's normal human thinking. And you can teach a parrot to say, thank you. It doesn't know what the feeling for thank you is. Gratitude is the feeling of ecstasy that's in the soul. Gratitude does not come natural to us. It is not born in us. Gratitude is the exalted feeling of great minds and great souls. And gratitude does not come because we were born with a silver spoon in our mouth. Frequently, having much only causes us to take much for granted. Nor does gratitude come because we have had little, because we've done without. Frequently, doing without causes us to be frightful, fearful, or resentful. But there is an attitude that, when acquired, will draw to us, will bring into our lives all that we need. Everything that we need comes to the person who is willing to become excited about their life, enjoy their life, give thanks for everything that exists in their lives, and praise the miracle-working power of God that is always present and that immediately goes into action when we begin to believe that that power is there. The quickest and the best way to establish your conscious contact with God is to become excited about your life, is to give thanks for everything that exists, and to praise the power of God. Once, many years ago, someone who loved me very much gave me, at Christmas time, a set of cufflinks. She was standing there, watching as I unwrapped the Christmas package. And I looked at those precious cufflinks. Except to me, in my mind at that moment, they were not so precious, nor were they so beautiful. I have to admit to you that this happened at a time when I was somewhat less mature than I am now. And I spoke the perfunctory words, "Thank you." But do you know what I was thinking in my heart? Let me tell you what I was thinking. I was looking at those cufflinks and thinking, gosh, they really are not what I would have selected. I will probably never wear them. They're not as expensive as I would have bought. I wonder how I'm going to get out of this. You never had an experience like that in your life, did you? But I said, thank you. Now, was there gratitude in me? Of course not. It was the immature mind of a person that did not perceive life correctly, even in that moment or in many other moments. I put those cufflinks away, forgot about them. Years passed. One day, they came into my hand again, and I opened the box, not knowing what I would see. And there, in that moment, I beheld the most beautiful set of cufflinks that had ever been given to me. And they really were attractive. My perspective had changed. My outlook had changed. And the dear and wonderful person who had placed them in my hand the first time was no longer alive. But I felt so much gratitude for the love that selected them for me. I feel it now. And you know, I wish that I could take this feeling of gratitude that's in my heart at this moment with me and carry it all day long, using it with everything that I see. There's so much to be grateful for. As a matter of fact, there is nothing on this earth to be ungrateful for. And when we achieve our spiritual maturity and begin to be grateful, experiencing, letting our mind and our heart just touch and love and appreciate all that's happening to us, an incredible thing happens in the universe. There's a response that is so absolutely magnificent that it's amazing. These three ideas that I've told you will solve any problem. You cannot have a problem that's so severe that joy and praise and thanksgiving will not solve. But the great good news is not just that when you and I practice these ideas, these principles, that things change. Even if nothing changed, even if all that we had was the feeling of excitement and the sense of gratitude and the feeling that goes with praising God. If that was the only gift that came, it would be worth it. Even if this was not a miracle-working system, it would be worth doing. It would be so life-changing. Every second of our eternal existence, we are using our minds with only two possible courses of action, and one is to praise or to bless or to be grateful for experiences, and the other is to curse or to ignore or to be less than appreciative of what's happening to us. And we're always doing this. Everything that happens, we're either seeing it with eyes and with a mind that is awake or with a mind that is asleep and not fully cognizant of the experience and of the possibility that exists. So the person who is excited enough about his or her life to let each event, each circumstance, be one in which you give thanks. It's truly a new kind of being. It's a new kind of consciousness. There's only one power in the whole universe, and the mind that can use that power positively, affirmatively, joyously, is one that will have an exciting life. You know the delight I take in telling the story of the time that Jesus was with his disciples and wanting to show them the power of negative thinking. He walked over to a fruit tree and said, "You shall never bear fruit again." And his disciples heard him say it. And often this has been misinterpreted. People have said, well, he was angry because there were no figs on that tree. And you know how ridiculous that is. What he was doing was showing us how our minds are always working either positively or negatively. The next day they came by and the tree was withered right down to its roots. And the disciples were amazed. Now, the lesson in that story for us is how many flowering, blossoming, blooming situations will never bear fruit again because we have cursed them or ignored them or did not see the possibility that was there. Do you have a feeling for what I'm talking about? There's nothing on earth more exciting than a person who's turned on to their life, who loves their life. You show me a person who loves their life, and I'll show you someone that you and I will both agree will never have a problem that will last very long. Let them love their life and praise the situation and be excited and grateful. And others will think how lucky they are. There's no luck at all. It's a principle. It's a system that always works. Benjamin Franklin was not always the wise and restrained man that we now picture him as being. You know, he truly was a genius. And in his middle and latter years, he was considered to be one of the great ambassadors for America. But he was a multi-talented, creative person. But when he was young, he was often brash and rude and tactless. He was intolerant of the weaknesses of the foibles of other people. And he was often bluntly critical and would tell people to their faces what was wrong with them. And naturally, he was not always welcomed. Later in life, he became so skillful at handling people that he was asked one time, what was the secret of his success? And he said, "I will speak ill of no man, and I will speak all the good I know of everybody and of everything that exists in my life." That was so different from Benjamin Franklin in his youth. But there's magic here. There's truly magic. Giving thanks. I thank you. I thank you for this problem. I thank you for this situation. Is there something in your life that you do not have but would enjoy having? Give thanks for it. Have you known a lack in some area of your life? A lack of money? A lack of love? So often when we lack something, we assume the position and the attitude and the feelings of being without, don't we? And we practice feeling without and even develop a tone of voice that implies exactly how we feel inside, our whole attitude. We assume a mental and an emotional and frequently even a physical posture of one who does not have that particular thing. And we become anti those who do. We divide ourselves into the haves and the have-nots, and the have-nots are those who have not. Isn't it strange that the haves have more and the have-nots keep having less? Have you ever figured out how that works? Well, suppose you are a have-not, and the thing that you lack in your life is love. Let's say love. There are not enough people loving you, or not enough people appreciating you. They don't really understand what a marvelous, wonderful person you really are. and you're standing here, right here, right where I am, waiting for them to come and to discover you and to love you and figure out what a remarkable person that they would know that you are if you should ever condescend to tell them. Let's try it a different way. Let's assume the feeling of being loving. Okay? Love is what we want, so love is what we must give. Understanding is what we want, so therefore understanding is what we must give. And the first thing we do then is to stop feeling that we don't have love, but we begin to feel that love is something that we're going to give, and we're going to give it to everybody without exception. Not just to the people that we like, not just to the people whose skin tone is the same color as ours. We're going to love everybody. Love them all the same. Love them, love them, love them. Now, that doesn't mean that you run up and throw your arms around the stranger on the street, but you see the stranger on the street and you love the stranger on the street. You love the stranger. The stranger smells bad. You love the stranger. Because back of all of that, there is the spirit of that stranger, and you love the stranger. You marvel at the stranger. You rejoice. You give thanks. Suppose that it's money that you don't have. Well, take the money that you do have. I've never seen anybody that didn't have some. A little bit. Take what you have and begin to love it, meaning to bless it. And not only love the money that you have, but love all the money that everybody else has and be glad that everybody has more money than you do. Now that's a strange position to take, isn't it? Because if you don't have any and somebody's got some, what's the normal, ordinary reaction? The have-nots resent the ones who have, isn't that true? And the have-nots have a tendency to believe that they have a right to their part of the world of money. Different attitude. Praise it. Be glad. Be grateful. Get a feeling of excitement about the fact that as you love and enjoy spending money and giving money away, that more money will come to you. Now remember that the Bible never did say that money was the root of all evil. It never said that at all. It said the obsession for money, finding your identity and your security in money, and that's not what we're talking about. All we're talking about is you having more than enough to use all the days of your life. And you get that feeling by blessing and praising and giving thanks. Giving thanks for all the money that's in the world and all that other people have. And if you pick up the newspaper and you read where someone won the $1 million lottery, be grateful that they won it. Thank you, God, that Mary Sue McElhaney won the lottery. Because my good is coming to me. My good is coming to me. Praise and give thanks. You don't have the health that you think you need in your body? Well, you do. It's there. It is there. And so praise your body and give thanks for what you think you don't have. Take the health that you do have and bless it and know that health is permeating your entire body. If you have any, you have it all. And give thanks for the part that you know you have. Praise it. And also remember that if you lack money or any other thing, that you cannot receive it back until you begin to give it. So take what you have and give part of it away. Well, I can't do that, Jack. I don't have enough. How can I give it away? You will never have enough until you start giving it away. You will never be loved until you become loving, until you give more love than you ever expect to receive. You will not be loved until you bring more joy to other people than you ever expect to receive from them. You will not be given joy by other people. Do you believe it? What you want must be praised and blessed and expressed. I was reminded that 3 months ago, Sharon's son had his heart broken. Someone stole his 1974 Monte Carlo. And David had worked for 3 or 4 years to get the money to buy that car. And it was his dream car. He would shine that car and polished that car, and he loved that car dearly, and someone stole it. His heart was broken. And Sharon's heart was broken until she came to class that afternoon, and we talked about it, and we decided that instead of being brokenhearted because David had lost his car, that we would be grateful that David has lost his car. Isn't that a silly attitude? Grateful that David's car was stolen? Absolutely grateful, because out of this would come not only a great lesson for David and growth for David, but the most wonderful thing that would come for David would be that his true dream car would come. That David cannot lose his good. He's a child of God, and we know this. And we praise the Spirit of God that is in him and with him and all around him. And we even praise the person that stole the car because he is an instrument of David's good. We give thanks that he will learn his lesson in a way that's appropriate, that we need not be concerned about. And when I saw Sharon this afternoon, I said to her, "Sharon, tell me about David's car." And she said, "I thought you'd never ask." She said, "David is so happy with his dream car." You see, David now has a 74 Trans Am. Oh, but wait till you hear about this Trans Am. This Trans Am is in perfect mint condition. It has practically no mileage. It was purchased brand new by a man who has loved that car, who has adored it. Its wheels have never been in snow in Michigan. Everything that you can do to make that car in perfect condition has been done. And when David and Sharon were driving into the driveway for David to see this Trans Am, she had this incredible feeling that it was a spiritual experience, that this was the result of David, this young 16-year-old boy, having forgiven the person who stole his dream car, blessing the situation, giving thanks that it was happening to him, because out of it would come a greater good. He has probably the most perfect car that could possibly be given to him. Now, hear this. The man that sold it to him was moving out of the country and could not take it with him. And he is so grateful that David has the car that he's put all this work into. He's moved to St. Thomas, and they communicate with each other. He wants to keep in conscious contact with his car. It's the way it works. You lost your dream, whatever it was. Rejoice. You haven't lost a thing unless you sob and cry and weep and blame and curse. What can you lose? You're a child of the universe. You are the beloved of God. And give thanks for your experience, because in it is contained the incredible seed of a remarkable good that could not happen to you except that this has occurred. And so, know your secret. Blame no one. Be grateful for what's happening. And praise the marvelous power that will restore, that will reunite you with that which is from above. The word thank you comes from the Latin word meaning to know. But it means more than to know. It means to know in feeling. Thank you is a feeling that you have, that all is well, that all is right with the world. And with that feeling, you express the words, thank you, praising your good and believing in that which is beyond. Gratitude is defined as a warm and friendly feeling toward a benefactor. A warm and friendly feeling. A feeling of excitement. There's so much to appreciate in this life. And the word appreciate means to be fully conscious of, to place a sufficiently high value on. Value everything that's happening to you, especially your problems. If you've got a problem in your life, bless it. And speak to your problem directly and ask your problem to reveal to you the reason that the problem exists. Most people want the solution to the problem, but they don't want to learn the lesson. Learn the lesson. Ask the problem to teach you the lesson. And it will. Of course, it will not be the problem that teaches you. It'll be the Spirit of truth that will reveal to you exactly what you need to know so that that problem need never, ever occur to you again. The whole creation responds to praise and thanksgiving, and never forget it. Remember that which we expect to receive, we must also give. That God never puts anything in a closed hand or a closed mind or a closed life. That when we open ourselves up to excitement and to joy, and when we become the channel through whom that Spirit of truth expresses itself, when we're willing to give more than we desire to receive, we will receive more than we have ever known that we would receive. It's an incredible universe. You are nature's greatest creation. You're the beloved of God. So rejoice and give thanks. Let your mind revel in the glory of your life.